Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Right now we're going to talk about the Bible and specifically a ministry called Bibles for the World. The president of that is John Podaiti, and he ultimately comes from a family of headhunters whose family was radically changed when a missionary brought a Gospel of John to his village in India. John, thank you so much for joining us on Vocal Point. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on the program, Jerry. It's wonderful to be here with you today.
Sure. And both of us, we were just reminiscing before we got on the air here about how we both have Wheaton Graduate School, Wheaton College, as a tie in Wheaton, Illinois. So that's a very interesting aspect. And your whole family's been involved with Bibles for the World for quite a while, correct?
Yes, Bibles for the World was actually founded by my parents, Dr. Rochunga and Moi Podaiti, and it goes back quite a number of years. Before that, the impact that the Bible, that God's Word, has had on our people in India. As you mentioned, we come from what was a tribe of headhunters, and in the year 1910, a single copy of the Gospel of John came to my grandfather's village. It was sent by a young Welsh missionary, just 22 years old, and the Bible had been translated and printed, the Gospel of John, had been translated and printed into a neighboring language. Well, the people in the village couldn't read or write at the time, and so they asked the missionary to come and explain the meaning of the book. And defying the British authorities' orders, he made his way up to my grandfather's village and spent 5 days there. And in that time, he was able to share the message of salvation through Jesus Christ.
Wow.
And my grandfather was one of those first Christians. There were five new believers from that missionary's visit, and he was never allowed to visit there again. But the seed of God's word, the seed of the gospel, had been planted with our people, and it spread like wildfire through our village and to the neighboring village and all across our tribe. And all we had was the Gospel of John, and even that in a neighboring dialect.
That is an amazing story. Has that ever been told in a movie or anything? I mean, it sounds so dramatic.
It has been told in a movie back in the early 80s. It was made into a movie called Beyond the Next Mountain, and it's become something of a Christian classic, still carried by a number of the Christian video distributors, as well as, I believe, it's on Pureflix now.
Oh, wow. Beyond the Next Mountain. By the way, what particular region or province within India was this occurring?
This happened in the state of Manipur, what is now the state of Manipur. At the time, it was the Assam. And this is on the far eastern or northeastern part of India on the Burma-China border. And as you mentioned, our people were headhunters. We were a semi-nomadic tribe that had migrated down probably from southern southwest China through Burma and then eventually to what is now India.
It's an amazing story. This is fascinating. Okay, tell us about the ministry Bibles for the World that was founded within your own family. What's the purpose of it and what do you actually do?
Well, we are involved in scripture distribution, of course, as the name says, and we've been working primarily outside the USA. We've distributed scriptures in over 120 countries around the world, 20, 30 million New Testaments now, and probably as many Gospels of John. And we look for opportunities to come alongside, to partner with other ministries who are working with unreached people groups, or where the Holy Spirit is working and where we can be strategic. And where the people, there may be new believers or there may be evangelism going on, that we know that they need to be grounded in the Word of God.
You know, it's such a strange world, John, when you think about it, that on the one hand, here in America, we have Bibles all over the place. Some people have said that, you know, the Bible is the most owned but least read book. I don't think that's accurate, by the way, because I think there are a lot of people who do read the Bible, but not enough. And certainly more professing Christians could read more. You know, we could certainly do better. But on the other hand, you have other places in this world where they're starving for the Word of God. And in some cases, they don't even know that they're starving. They just don't have it available to them.
Exactly. There are places all over the world that we've been distributing Bibles where it is the absolute first time they have ever set their hands or their eyes on their own copy of Scripture. And it's just such a wonderful joy to be able to be there and deliver God's word to these people that are so hungry for it.
You know, one of the great actors of our time was Peter Uzumov or whatever his name was. And I remember the last role he ever did was a Christian movie, and it was called Luther. I don't know if you remember this. It was about 10 years ago. It was a very respectful retelling of the life of Martin Luther. But he played the part, Peter Ustinov did, of Frederick the Wise or whatever. And he was, when he was getting, receiving for himself for the first time, Luther's translation of the Bible into his own language, and you could see his hands like reaching out, and you could see his eyes and his face like, oh, please give this to me. What a wonderful gift. And he received it. I don't know if you've seen that movie, but it really was a tremendous scene. And that whole idea of getting the Bible for yourself that you can read for yourself for the first time. What a delightful gift. You know, it's amazing.
Well, Jerry, I haven't seen that movie, but I've seen that scene over and over as we've provided God's word in India, in Nepal, in Thailand, in Bhutan, in China. And as we hand that out, that exact picture that you described, where people are hands outstretched, almost sometimes just quivering or shaking a little, and their eyes are just wide open, I'm going to have God's word for myself for the very first time. It is just such a thrill and a joy to be able to be a part of that.
All right, now, according to, I guess, some Barna studies, they found that only about one-third of all American adults report reading the Bible once a week or more, although you could turn them around and say, wow, there's probably no other book that's even remotely close to that. I mean, seriously, I mean, even when you look at some of the big sellers like Harry Potter or the Da Vinci Code, which is really anti-Bible type stuff, the numbers dwindle when compared really to the Bible. And I am talking about within America even.
Yes, that's true. We've seen those statistics, and just of late, we've been kind of turning our attention back toward the U.S. a little bit here, because which for 45 years, this ministry has been focused out to the other nations of the world where there is such a hunger for God's word. And then meanwhile, here back home, we start to see these statistics coming out of the Barna report that 51% of the churchgoers in America could not identify the Great Commission. And it just makes you wonder what's been going on back home here. And so that's part of, we've been starting to turn our attention to this and trying to get people engaged with Scripture here in the U.S. And we've started a daily radio program with a feature, two-minute feature, that has teaching, daily teachings from the Bible. It's called Learn the Bible in a Year. And we've been blessed to be able to partner with the author, Dr. Shane Houle, on this. And we're starting to see tremendous response from this.
And so your goal is essentially to increase Bible literacy here in America. And so tell us more aspects of that agenda, more ways in which you're trying to fulfill that goal.
Well, as I mentioned, the radio program, Learn the Bible in a Year, and we also can provide that as a book or as a monthly study. And those are some of the ways that we're trying to get people engaging with God's word, that in 365 lessons that just take about 7 minutes, they can work their way through the Bible and really learn it. It's not just a reading guide or reading program, but it's actually a way to study the Bible in 1 year. Now, we know that the Bible actually deserves our entire lifetime of study, but we felt at least through this Learn the Bible in Your program, this book, that we could get more of the people here in the States engaged with Scripture on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. Very good. There, I wonder if there's a generation gap a bit related to Bible reading, and here's why I asked that. I guess according to one of the Barna studies, the national average of Bible reading since 2009 has weakened as more and more millennials join the ranks of adulthood. So in other words, this implies that millennials are not reading the Bible as much as older Americans are.
Right. It's definitely a very changing society that we're in, and, you know, we see that in church attendance. We see that in Bible reading, you know, with things coming electronically. You know, most people don't even carry a Bible. They carry it on their phone. And so this type of daily engagement with God's Word is really starting to drop off, I think, as we are becoming a more and more electronic generation.
You know, it's interesting, though, even the world's leading atheists, and I refer here to Richard Dawkins, of formerly of Oxford. He wrote a book called The God Delusion. And in the book, it's all anti-God, anti-Bible and so forth. And yet near the very end, he says, oh, by the way, I think the Bible as literature is absolutely wonderful. Don't take, you know, my opinions of against the Bible as being the Word of God. Don't take that to the nth degree. And he said, oh, you are really not that smart and literate and cultural if you're not familiar with the Bible. Why, look at all these everyday expressions and phrases that come from the Bible. And then he just lists example after example, you know, turn the other cheek, my brother's keeper, the Good Samaritan, David and Goliath, Noah's Ark. I mean, all these different things. And he's absolutely right, by the way, on this particular point, that you're not literate and cultural if you don't know the Bible. And he even mentions how Shakespeare is just replete with all kinds of biblical quotes or allusions. And so this is really a fascinating thing that even a non-Christian would recognize that. And now we have this wonderful Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C., which I think also tries to help promote the idea of the Bible and its impact and biblical literacy and why it is important for us as a society.
Yes, I think that's so often overlooked, you know, by scholars, by contemporary culture, how foundational the God's Word is to the society we live in, to the legal system, to the political system, to so many areas of our life that we just take for granted. And I think you only begin to realize that, certainly for me, as I spent a lot of time, have spent a lot of time in India, and realize here is a society that doesn't have this as its foundation, and how lawless or evil it can become because it doesn't have that steering, that moral compass that the Bible provides. And so, you know, working as much as we have done overseas, it just becomes so apparent to us that how important God's Word is to be that guiding light, that guide, a daily guide for everyone here on earth that God has provided. And coming back to my own people, I mean, from a single copy of the Gospel of John, our entire tribe was evangelized in less than 30 years, 100% evangelized.
Wow.
And not only that, we took the gospel to other tribes, and we were completely converted from headhunters to heart hunters for Jesus Christ. And we see the impact of that, not only, you know, that our people became evangelized, became followers of Christ, but we see it in education, we see it in hygiene, we see it in the social structure. Before we had a form of slavery, and that was completely abolished as we started to understand that was not part of God's plan for His creation on earth.
Wow.
And things like that, that we see complete transformation of our people and a desire for education and to read God's Word and study more. And so, you know, coming out of that heritage, that legacy, it just is the natural for us. We just want to continue to plant God's Word, plant the seed of God's Word. Different parts of the world, some of the most remote parts of the world, perhaps, and see how God's going to take that and write another chapter in His story.
All right, that's excellent. And let me give you a website. It's biblesfortheworld.org. John Podaiti, again, president of Bibles for the World, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jerry. It's been a pleasure to be with you here today.
Okay, you too. God bless.